Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Limits at some point. Hopefully we'll have the Art Rooney sound from the owners' meetings where he's making it sound like it's all but a done deal here for Aaron Rodgers. Throwing in the little warning, we're not going to wait forever. I guess that's because they're the Steelers and they won't stoop to that level, even though they already have and even though they're desperate. They're desperate for a prom date and they're just going to wait for Rodgers to say yes. But Art tells the people there what he actually said was it's heading in that direction. And it sounds like, I think, any day now. I still think that it's going to happen April 9th, it'll be a grand announcement when the McAfee show comes and does a sold-out show at PPG Paints. Am I right about that? Is that where the show is?
Yes. Yes, it will be.
And as Dulac writes, while his coach and general manager were reluctant to say too much about Aaron Rodgers, team president Art Rooney II had no problem saying he feels pretty good about the four-time league MVP signing with the Steelers. So this is the major breakthrough in the whole story. You know, obviously signs were pointing in that direction, as we mentioned at the top of the show. Tom Pelissero reporting that, yeah, it sure looks like this is going to happen. Well, of course it does. Everything we've read and heard and seen and been reported, and now there's video of him and DK Metcalf working out together. I mean, that just doesn't happen. And somebody just doesn't show up and film parts of the session and put it out on social media.
That's clear.
If it's not done with a purpose. So this is happening. And we're going to have to start to think of some pretty creative ways to talk about this, because we've spoken of it as if it's already happening for, you know what, a couple of weeks now?
A while now, maybe close to a month. Since the start of free agency opened, at least. So, yeah, it's been a couple of weeks.
And I don't know why we're pretending. It could work. I don't think it will to the ends of winning a playoff game or even being competitive in one for the first time in nearly a decade. I don't think this is going to work, but it could. But let's not pretend this is not a marriage of desperation. The Steelers are desperate. They're coming back here with 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph. That's their quarterback room. Well, Skylar Thompson, too. We've been through how we got here. We've been through all that. It happened back in, 2018, the year they drafted Mason? And it reminded me very much of when Matt Murray entered that Penguins locker room. Like, you know, guys had come and gone, other goalies, for Fleury's entire career. But that year, which I think was what, 16, 15, whatever year it was, man, I was in the room the first day that Murray was called up, and it was like, things have changed. The Don't know when it's going to happen, but that guy over there, that Matt Murray kid, for the first time, there's somebody in this room who is here to be Fleury's replacement someday. That was the Mason Rudolph drafting. They reached for Mason. They said they had a first-round pick on him. They missed. He wasn't the guy. That was the first time the Steelers actually tangibly looked toward the future and what it would look like without Ben. The next time they really did that, you know, there were opportunities missed and made. They could have maybe drafted Lamar. They could have drafted Jalen Hurts. If they don't trade for Minka, maybe they draft Justin Herbert, any one of those things. And none of them happened. And the next time they made a tangible move was to go out for Mitch Trubisky and say, who knows, maybe this guy didn't fulfill his potential in Chicago because it was Chicago. Maybe he can do it here. Let's bring in Mitch Trubisky. And a lot of us were on board. One of us even started the Mitch Trubisky bandwagon, if I recall correctly. It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
Maybe it was a train, if you want to get technical. That didn't work. But before Trubisky really ever got on board, so to speak, fully, they drafted Kenny Pickett, and that turned out horrible. And nobody, of course, has ever had any ramifications for any of this. Just you let Mike Tomlin keep doing what he's doing and bringing in quarterbacks who can't play. I would say Kevin Colbert, back when the GM had a lot of power around here, or more power, was at least equal to Tomlin in choosing Mason. But since then, you know, these misses are mostly on Mike. That didn't work. I like the fact they took a swing on Russell Wilson. That didn't work. Justin Fields, again, the recipe was maybe this guy didn't work in Chicago because it was Chicago. And who knows? Maybe, as Bob Pompiani, my sometime partner, says, maybe that would have worked long term here. I don't think so, though. I thought we saw in Justin's last two starts, yeah, this looks familiar. This is sort of Kenny Pickett all over again, except he's a better runner. Problems getting through progressions, problems as a passer. More talented than Kenny as a pure passer, or as a, you know, arm talent, things like that. But just something missing in the pass part of the game and in the processing part. And we've seen that time and again. Pickett, a prime example. And so here we are again. You've seen the quotes. Pretty soon we'll hear the quotes. Looks like Aaron Rodgers headed in this direction, according to the owner of the team. Your gut reaction to that is what at 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can register an opinion here on the Fan text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. This is a desperate act. And that doesn't mean it won't work. I don't think it will. But I don't see really any argument other than that this is a desperate act by a desperate team who has mangled the most important position in all of sports. This is Ron Cook's fear come true. He would write about it, saying, be careful what you wish for. When people were ready to move on from Ben, probably before that time was right, you don't know what a post-Ben world is going to look like. And man, it ain't pretty, is it, Limits?
Not at all. I mean, this has basically become the Steelers of mediocrity, which I was not used to growing up, which so many people were not used to growing up.
Yeah, I call it high-end mediocrity.
Yeah.
It's an interesting place to live, where you usually make the playoffs. You barely make the playoffs. You're a double-digit underdog. Nobody considers you a legit threat. And you're immediately dispatched, which gets some people like me saying, are you really better off than what the Arizona Cardinals were? Like, is it this some crowning achievement to barely get in and then get killed as compared to barely not get in? I don't know. I don't see much of a difference. But for some people, it's an okay place to live. And it looks like they're going to keep living there. 412-928-9370. Who's up?
Let's try our friend Paul in Washington again. Let's see if we got him now. Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Welcome back, Giuseppe. How are you, my friend?
Good, and it's nice to hear from you. How are you?
I'm hanging in there, young fella. Look, I want you to ponder what I'm about to say. Could the ultimate con by Omar Khan be acting like we wanted Justin Fields, but we really didn't? Acting like we wanted Russell Wilson, but we really didn't? Saying we want Aaron Rodgers, but we really don't? And then, on Aaron Rodgers' part, what would be the ultimate humiliation of a once proud franchise to come to Pittsburgh, to appear at the Pat McAfee show, and to say, I'm retiring? Because if you have any thoughts about retiring, you're already retired, Joe. And
yeah,
I'm waiting for that day, Joe.
Yep.
I'm waiting for that day, Joe, that you call me and you tell me I'm gonna drive the golf cart and I'm gonna guest host with you. So I'll listen to your comments, Giuseppe. I'm glad you're back.
All right. Can you imagine if that happened? After all this, if he came and announced his retirement on McAfee, that would be as low as low gets.
That would be as stunning as it is appalling, I think, in that entire building. He wouldn't do that. He would get booed. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't like being disliked. So he wouldn't go there just to announce his retirement. Hey,
do you think when people, if this were to happen that night, and I'm sure the fans at PPG Paints Arena would go crazy, do you think inside they would feel like they were just faking it? Like, do you think there really is any or much legitimate excitement for Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career?
The fans would be faking it, like faking their excitement for it?
Yeah, just to be caught up in that moment.
No, I think that there are some people that still think that Aaron Rodgers can still play and that could be a viable quarterback for them, even if it's just for a year. I do think that there's some people that think that. Also, with the options that are still available, like Steeler fans want hope at this point that somebody's going to break them out of this hell that is 8 years in a row of not winning a playoff game.
No. On this show, and rarely do I make an edict on this show, Limits, but I would appreciate if you went along with this one.
Sure.
We phrase it this way here. Almost a decade without being competitive in a single playoff game. Could you do that for me?
I'll go with you on that.
Yeah. Try it.
8 years of not being competitive in a playoff game.
Now try add almost a decade without being competitive in a single playoff game. Try that sentence on for size.
The Steelers have gone almost a decade without being competitive in a playoff game.
Very good.
Wow.
A single playoff game. That adds a little emphasis. I mean, and it's true.
That's a doozy of a sentence to say.
Isn't it? I mean, it's way different. Then they don't have a playoff win in 8 years.
That's like nearly half my life.
And it's truer than they don't have a playoff win in 8 years. Let's tell the real truth here. Let's phrase this honestly.
Wait, think about it this way. The Steelers have gone one third of my life without winning a playoff game.
Yeah, and we phrased it this way too. And I tested you one day as to when your first real memories, like, you know, yeah, I remember that, were probably at 5 or 6 years old, like most people. So you take that five, let's say take 6 years off the top, right? Then you add the eight in which they have never been competitive in a single playoff game.
Right.
We're up to a kid who could be 15, who could be about to turn 15. So we have freshmen in high school who have no conscious memory of the Steelers being competitive in a playoff game. Let's just hard to fathom. Yeah. Let's let that one marinate for a minute. Okay. I'm going to say that again. And then I want maybe 2 or 3 seconds of pure silence. We have kids all around Western Pennsylvania who are freshmen in high school, 3 years away from college, Limits. We have kids all over Western Pennsylvania who are 3 years away from college, who have no memory of the Steelers being competitive in a playoff game. Thank you. I think we needed that.
We did. We needed the acknowledgement.
Can Aaron Rodgers make them competitive in a playoff game? Can he deliver them a playoff win? Then there's the whole other side here. Another little side topic is when I was leaving last Wednesday, Cam Hayward was trying to clean up his initial reaction to Aaron Rodgers, saying, yeah, it'd be cool to have him here. Okay, but he clearly, nobody went to the lengths they went to recruit and bring in Russell Wilson last year. That's a fact.
Other than Pat Freiermuth DMing with Aaron Rodgers.
Right. So nobody went to those lengths.
No.
The TJ Watt, Minka, and especially Cam lengths of, man, we want Russell Wilson.
Nobody's FaceTiming Aaron Rodgers, putting it out there.
No.
But I mean, DK Metcalf going to meet with him in person and throw, I mean, that's a step.
That is a step.
For a new guy, too.
That was. That's a good point. But he just became a Steeler himself. So none of the guys who were already here who make up the core of the team, the leaders, reached out that we know of. Certainly not publicly like they did with Russell.
This is like new kids on the block. We're just going to go in there and, you know, make it our team with Aaron Rodgers and DK Metcalf.
Could we hear a couple of quotes from Rich Cimini, who's very good, who works for ESPN, and who covered Rodgers last year? His only full season with the Jets, the previous one lasted a couple plays. Just a couple quotes limits on somebody who was there every day and how they feel about Rodgers, if you wouldn't mind.
This is Rich Cimini on ESPN with us on the idea that Aaron Rodgers could be a distraction in the locker room.
He was basically the general manager here, too. And once the Jets committed to him, they just went all in. They said, we are going to do whatever we can to win with Aaron Rodgers. And they took a lot of criticism for that, but I actually applauded the Jets. You know, they wanted to try to make it work. So they brought in guys like Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb and Nathaniel Hackett. And this year they traded for Devontae Adams. They did everything they possibly could to try to make it work with Rodgers. And it didn't. You won't have that clout with the Steelers. Now, as for the drama, I mean, it's real. He's not a bad guy. And the idea that, you know, he's a divisive force in the locker room is not accurate. You know, he and Garrett Wilson did not get along last year. I mean, I think that was pretty out in the open. They just didn't click. Most of the guys really enjoyed him. He played hard, but there's the drama. You know, he skips mini camp to take a vacation to Egypt. Fined over $100,000 by the Jets. You know, that was ridiculous. And he did throw Mike Williams under the bus after running the wrong route. A few days later, Mike Williams gets traded. I think those were probably the low points for him, but you know, he does do the McAfee thing every Tuesday. It's part of who he is. You know, is that going to be okay with Mike Tomlin? I don't know. Rodgers, he brings his own culture. And it's not to say that it's bad or he's criticizing people. He just draws so much media attention that it's almost impossible to control.
I mean, you can live with these types of things if you're bringing in a superstar. They're not. Nobody thinks of Aaron Rodgers as a top 10 quarterback anymore. I don't even think he was top 15 last year.
I don't know. Did you hear what Steve Palazzolo had to say with the PM team?
No, what did he say?
So he said this a couple of weeks ago, that he thinks that Aaron Rodgers is still one of those guys.
Yeah, I think he's a fringe top 10 type of guy. I think what you saw last year was a little bit of physical ability diminished, but he's coming off of the Achilles. I'm not saying that's going to get any better a year older, but could get a little bit better, not being, you know, that close to the surgery. So he doesn't move around as well as he did before, but the arm, the velocity's there. He's still going to generally make good decisions. So is fringe top 10, is that okay? That's what happens when guys get into their 40s.
Fringe top 10 quarterback, Joe. Okay, Steve Palazzolo, 33rd team believes.
Fringe. All right. Fringe top 10. That's 10 to 15, if you ask me. Okay.
We'll it's go four through. Nights of complete darkness.
Darkness. No darkness there. Fringe top 10, Joe.
First, let's go 10. Back to our friend Rich Cimini, who's very good at what he does. You know, he says he's not a divisive force and then lists a bunch of examples of him going to Egypt during mandatory mini camp, throwing Mike Williams under the bus. Him and Garrett Wilson didn't get along. I don't know that he supported his contention with a bunch of evidence. In fact, it was evidence to the contrary. Two of his top three receivers he completely alienated, if not ran a bus over them 18 times, in Mike Williams' case. So, I don't know, man. And then what did we just play? Now I'm drawing a blank.
The Darkness.
Oh.
Oh, Steve Palazzolo.
Steve Palazzolo, yes.
Top 10.
Okay. All right. Is he? Who's better, Aaron Rodgers or Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow.
That's one.
Yep.
Aaron Rodgers or Lamar?
Lamar.
That's two. Aaron Rodgers or Josh Allen?
Allen.
That's three. Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
That's four. Jaden Daniels?
Yes, Daniels.
Okay. Jared Goff?
Yeah, give me Goff.
Okay, we're up to six or seven. I can't remember right
six.
Now. Jordan Love?
Oh. I had Jordan Love winning the MVP last year, and he did not have that great of a season. I would rather have Rodgers right now.
I mean, he had 25 and 11. Aaron had 28 and 11 for a losing team. I think Love played fewer games as well. C.J. Stroud?
Yeah, just because of age. But Stroud did not have a good year.
He won a playoff game.
He did.
Matthew Stafford?
Yeah, give me Stafford.
Okay. Bo Nix?
No.
No. Bo Nix threw for 29 touchdowns against 12 picks and is a really good runner, and he's on the rise. Surely if I told you you could have Bo Nix or Aaron Rodgers right now, you wouldn't take Bo Nix?
No. I would take Bo Nix in the next 2 or 3 years, obviously. But right now, this season, no, I don't want Bo. I would not take Bo Nix over Rodgers.
All right. All right. So where would, how about Jalen Hurts?
Yes, Hurts.
Of course you'd take Hurts.
Correct.
So, I mean, he's not top
not even
10,
close.
So you'd have him fringe
right
top
now,
10.
I'm at 8. Right now, I'm at 8 for my list.
You think Aaron Rodgers is the 8th best quarterback in
no,
football?
No, there are more quarterbacks that we still haven't named yet.
Who haven't we named yet? Baker Mayfield?
I would take Baker over Rodgers.
All right, he had 41 touchdowns. Your guy, Sam Darnold?
I wanted Rodgers over Darnold. So I'm going to stick with Rodgers.
All right. I can respect that. I think Geno Smith is better than him.
I don't.
No?
No. I've been pretty firm on the Geno take.
So hold on here.
Derek Carr.
Joe Burrow, one.
Yep.
Lamar.
Yep.
Goff, that's three. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen, four. Mahomes, five. Jordan Love, six. Jaden Daniels, seven. Justin Herbert.
Yes, I would take Herbert.
That's eight. Matthew Stafford's nine.
I wouldn't take Love over him right now.
Okay. C.J. Stroud is nine. Jalen Hurts is 10, so he's not in your top 10.
I had him right at 10 because, again, I didn't count Jordan Love.
How about Dak Prescott?
No, I want Rodgers over Dak. You know how I feel about Dak.
Yeah, I do.
Just kind of a guy.
Just kind of a guy.
Yeah.
Who got MVP votes 2 years ago.
Yep.
I don't think he's that great, but just kind of a guy?
I don't think he's somebody that overcomes a lot that can win them playoff games.
You have to be pretty good, though, at some point to get MVP votes and put up those.
You do.
Numbers.
I mean, Derek Carr had a really good year where he put up MVP votes for the
Derek
Raiders,
Carr,
too.
Who's better, Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers?
Right now?
Yeah.
I don't think it's a question, Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Derek Carr right now at this point in his career should even be a starter.
Okay. He had 15 touchdowns and 5 picks.
Yes, I know. I know we disagree on Aaron Rodgers, which I know.
No, we don't.
I still think that Rodgers has
some
left in the tank.
I think he's not a top 10. You say he's not a top 10.
I had him right at 10.
I'm not going to go through that list again to prove to you that you had him below 10. You think he's a top 10 quarterback in the league.
And okay. Fringe quarterback is also, you know, right at 10, 11, 12. It's that 8 to 12 range.
Aaron Rodgers or Spencer Rattler?
Aaron Rodgers.
Can I hear the days of darkness again? I love the way he accentuates the word darkness. I really like that. I think it applies to everything in this situation.
Yeah, you know.
If you wouldn't mind.
Yes. You know, it's spelling is obviously a very big thing when I look up these things.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
My spelling is in the darkness.
What makes that? To me, it's the two ahs. If he doesn't add the first ah, and even the second one, it's a very different quote. What a beautiful quote.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
I like the second.
I love that. It may very well be the second one. Let me decide one more time here, Limits, please.
Don't forget about this one.
I consulted with a now good friend of mine, Joe Rogan. It's
like
four nights of complete darkness.
Complete darkness.
Oh, we have reached a place of complete darkness. We truly have.
It's four nights of complete darkness.
412-928-9370. Team President Art Rooney acknowledging that he's very optimistic that Aaron Rodgers is coming here. I think that's a fair characterization of what he said. Do you? Very optimistic?
Very optimistic, yes.
Made it sound like it's all but done to me.
That's the way I've taken it. That's the way I've taken it for the last couple of days.
But we're not waiting forever. We're not going to wait forever for
then,
this guy.
What are you going to wait for? Four nights of complete dark.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our Youth Baseball Softball Showcase presented by Sheetz. Parents, coaches, email us at usports@937thefan.com to register your 12 and under team. And the fan might stop at your field. Details at 937thefan.com. Brought to you by Keystone Custom Apparel. 50-minute mark on the fan. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And it's time for What's Cooking. Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. So back to the Pirates, where we started today. And man, part of me thinks it sounds ridiculous to say big game, but if I'm Derek Shelton, it feels like a big game. 1-5. I know you have Skeens on the mound tomorrow. He's got a pretty good matchup, though. Then you got the Yankees coming in here for 3. 1-4 turns into 1-5, turns into 2-8 or 1-9. That's not off the table. And then I think we're under, all of baseball's under a Shelty watch then. Because I think a lot of people are viewing this more as a continuation of how last year folded and how these past 5, 6, 7 years have gone than they are, oh, fresh new season, crazy talk, if they start 1-6, to be thinking about anything rash. No, I honestly believe this is a big game tonight. 1-5, man, can you imagine then, let's say Skeens comes back and win, you get swept by the Yankees, you're at 2-8. Tell me about Thomas Harrington. I'm looking forward to watching him. I came in here today loaded for bear, like, really, we're going to go TBA in the 6th game of the season when allegedly they have all these young pitchers ready to go? So good for them for calling him up. Tell me about him, Limits.
Yeah, I'm excited for Harrington coming up today, getting a chance. And I think they were close to putting him in the major league rotation before ultimately deciding that Carmen Majewski would get the nod. He's one of their top 100 prospects. One of their best prospects was...
Wait, top 100? He's one of their top 10?
Yeah, I'm talking about top 100 prospects in all of baseball.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's 79th is the exact number that he is on MLB Pipeline. He's not going to blow you away with like a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but he's a really good control pitcher, can put the ball where he wants it. Fastball right around 94, 95, will top out at about 95. He's more of a four-pitch pitcher that has multiple pitches that he can use, good off-speed pitches, and is overall a consistent type of pitcher. He's not Bubba Chandler and Paul Skeens throwing
100. Why is he so highly regarded then? That doesn't make him sound... Is he a master of control? Isn't
yes.
he a number 3 prospect?
His control is very good. He locates well, and he just gets outs. He's more so of a strikeout per inning type of guy. He's not going to blow you away in that regard. He's the 78th overall prospect in all of Major League Baseball. But when you look at him, and MLB Pipeline is a place where I go for like a lot of my evaluations and everything, he's a college guy that came out of Campbell, and it's pretty much gone really quickly through the system. Did not make a minor league start this year. 8 starts last year in AAA, 3.33 ERA the year before, 2.40.
Well,
overall last year, he struck out 115 guys.
Hopefully we'll see him have a good performance tonight because they need one. It's time. I mean, thinking about the Rogers signing too, and the Pirates could disappear pretty quickly from people's radar this season, honestly, if they get off to a really horrendous start. And this is a pretty horrendous lineup. That's the way it looks to me. Again, year 6, and the best Ben Cherington can do for leadoff hitters so far this season is Tommy Pham, Adam Fraser, and Jiwon Bae. That's where we are with this lineup? What? So they better get it turned around quick. I'll say that. If I'm Derek Shelton, they better get it turned around quick. Plus, I would love to see limits tonight. The third base coach, Mike Rebell, go stop somebody, right? As I mentioned to lead the show, this has become like a phenomenon where Pirates third base coaches, they don't know the word stop.
No, put up the stop sign, please. And sometimes the times that we want them to go and send the runner, they don't send them.
Yeah, it's mostly over aggression, whether it was Goey Cora, Rick Gofield, or now Mike Rebell go. It's just like they can't help themselves. In fact, Shelton almost literally said that this guy couldn't help himself the other day. He said it was an inadvertent send. What did he send off the wrong signal when Tommy Pham, they sent him in extra innings and he got thrown out?
I think if you ask Rabs, I mean, inadvertent send, I mean, he would take that one back.
Take it back.
I compared it, and you wouldn't know of this a long time ago. There was a guy on Saturday Night Live who sang about how he couldn't stop his leg. His leg kept shaking. That's inadvertent. This is vertent. You're sending guys irresponsibly. Please stop doing that. Good night, Limits.
Good night. See you tomorrow.